では、これから英語の試験を行います。英語の試験は、はじめにリスニング、次にリーディングの順序で行います。リーディングの指示は、リスニングが終わった後で行います。試験に関する指示は、すべて録音された音声によって行いますので、ページの開閉も音声の指示に従ってください。これからリスニングの指示を読みますので、問題冊子の表紙を見ながら注意して聞いてください。1、リスニングにはパート1、2、3の3つがあります。2、各パートが始まる前に日本語で説明をします。注意して聞いてください。3、問題冊子には問いと4つの選択肢が与えられています。その中から最も適当と思われる答えを1つ選んで、回答カードの相当欄をマークしてください。4、各パートが終わったら、音声による指示があるまで、次のページを開けないで待っていてください。5、パート1では10の短い会話を聞きます。それぞれの会話についての問いに答えてください。6、パート2ではパート1より長い会話を2つ聞きます。それぞれの会話についての問いに答えてください。7、パート3では講義を3つ聞きます。講義の内容についてそれぞれ5つの問いに答えてください。回答カードのマークの仕方は1ページに書かれています。では、1ページを開けて確認してください。それでは、これから試験を始めます。パート1では、10の短い会話を聞きます。それぞれの会話についての問いに答えてください。問題冊子に書かれている問いを読み、最も適当と思われる答えを一つ選んで、回答カードの相当欄をマークしてください。10番の回答が終わっても、指示があるまで次のページを開けないで待っていてください。では、2ページを開けてください。
Now let's begin. 1. Are you okay? You don't look well.
Oh, I think I've caught a cold. I can't go to class today.
Did you let your teachers know?
I'll email them, but I'm going to see the nurse first.
2. Hi, we were in class together yesterday, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Min. Glad to see you again. Your show, right? We weren't in the same discussion group, but I remember you shared a great idea with everyone.
Thanks. I didn't know we live in the same dorm.
Actually, I live in Pine Dorm. I'm just visiting my friend here. 3.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm looking for the textbook for Sociology 101.
Me too, but I can't seem to find it. I wonder if it's only available online.
Actually, I think Professor Saito said it's only available here in the university bookstore.
It must be here somewhere then. Let's ask a shop assistant.
4.
Professor Kim, could I ask a question?
Hi, Kenta. Actually, I'm going to class now. Will it take long?
Well, it's about my plan for the next experiment. Could I come to your office hours next week?
Sure. Can you send me an email to confirm?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
5. Oh no, I think I've lost my student ID card.
Really? When did you last have it?
Well, I used it to check out a few books at the library this morning, and then to buy myself a coffee at the cafe. After that, I went to the bookstore. Then I came back here to the dorm.
Did you use it to get back into the dorm?
Yes, of course. You can't get in without an ID card. Six.
I heard this morning that the university will hold some classes online.
That's a pity. It's probably quite hard to make friends when classes are online.
Actually, it's still possible to make friends in clubs and circles. One thing that worries me is my internet connection at home. It's sometimes a little unreliable.
Yes, I'm worried about that too, especially when my parents are both working from home. I'm also a little nervous about using technology. I'm not very good with computers.
I can give you a hand with that if you like. I couldn't live without my computer.
Seven. Hi, can I get a membership card for the gym here?
Yes, of course. Here's the form. Please fill it out. Did you bring a photo?
No, I'm afraid not. Did I need to?
Yes. Without the photo, we can't make your membership card. Why don't you go to the bookstore? There's a photo booth by the entrance.
Eight. Have you done Professor Matsui's writing assignment? It's due tomorrow.
No, not yet. Actually, I failed Anthropology 101 last year, and I'm retaking it this term. I've been busy writing my paper for that, so I haven't got round to Professor Matsui's writing assignment yet.
But you know the assignment is a big portion of our grade, don't you?
Really? But I need to pass Anthropology 101. Otherwise, I can't take Anthropology 102 next term.
Nine. So that's all we have time for today. Before the next lesson, please make sure you finish reading Chapter 3. Also, remember we have a midterm test coming up next week too.
Professor, do we need to read Chapter 4 as well?
No, the test will only be covering up to Chapter 3. Any other questions?
Yes, Professor, can you remind us when the test will be?
Of course. It's Wednesday from 10 o'clock to 11. Remember, the test is open book, so make sure you take good notes and bring them with you to the test.
Thank you.
Ten.
Hi there. How can I help you?
Hi. My friend said the center is very useful, and I was hoping you could tell me a little about what you do here.
Of course. Our main aim is to provide students with support for their mental well-being during their time at university.
I see. What kind of support can students receive?
Well, we offer individual sessions and group sessions, so you can discuss your feelings and your experiences with one of our trained staff. We also run workshops to raise awareness of some common personal problems that university students face.
Thank you so much. Can I make an appointment for an individual session next week?
問題冊子はそのままにして、パート2についての説明を聞いてください。パート2では、パート1より長い会話を2つ聞きます。会話を聞きながらメモを取っても構いません。それぞれの会話について問題冊子に書かれている問いを読み、最も適当と思われる答えを1つ選んで、回答カードの相当欄をマークしてください。 15番の回答が終わっても、指示があるまで次のページを開けないで待っていてください。では、4ページを開けてください。Questions
11 to 12. Hi, how are you doing? You look kind of stressed.
Oh, hi. Have you already registered for your fall classes? I can't decide which science class I should take.
Which ones are you looking at?
Well, I'm interested in biology, but the biology professor is really strict. One of my friends told me that this chemistry class is easier, but I'm not as excited by the course description.
That's a tough decision. Why don't you talk with your advisor about it? Maybe she can help you out.
There's no way I can do that.
Why not? An advisor's job is to support you when you're choosing your classes.
No, I don't think it's going to help. You see, well, my advisor is the biology professor.
Questions 13 to 15. Have you applied for student housing for next year yet?
No, I haven't. To tell you the truth, I'm having trouble finding affordable accommodation. I want to get a room on campus again because living off campus is so expensive, but I'm struggling to find enough money even to stay on campus.
Then how about looking for a part-time job?
I'm trying, but there are not many available right now.
There are some ads for on-campus jobs in the Student Union building.
I know, but everyone wants those jobs. Plus, we have to keep our GPA above 2.5 to apply for an on-campus job, because the university doesn't want us to neglect our studies.
Haven't you got over 2.5?
It's embarrassing, but I haven't. I really wish I could work on campus. The hours are so flexible that I could handle working and my heavy course load.
I agree. Yeah, that would be ideal.
問題冊子はそのままにして、パート3についての説明を聞いてください。パート3では3つの講義を聞きます。講義を聞きながらメモを取っても構いません。それぞれの講義終了後に90秒の回答時間が与えられます。講義について問題冊子に書かれている5つの問いを読み、最も適当と思われる答えを1つ選んで、回答カードの相当欄をマークしてください。では、6ページを開けて、1つ目の講義を聞いてください。
Question 16 to 20. Listen to the lecture.
One way we can explore a country's history is by visiting its national museums. But the history we can learn about in museums may appear to represent only the lives of rich and powerful people, comprising the statues, portraits, and possessions of authority figures. Nevertheless, we should be aware that national histories have also been shaped by people who've challenged those in power. In fact, if we look carefully, evidence of rebellious voices can be found on display in museums. Today, we'll consider together two exhibits at the British Museum in London, which reveal collective attempts to use objects to question authority. One challenge for people who want to spread a message of protest is how to reach a wide audience. A clever solution to this is to write a message on money, because this method can convey an idea to all members of society. In 1913, coins started to circulate in Britain with the words "Votes for Women" stamped in rough capital letters on them. The message was clear support for the so-called suffragettes, women around the world who were fighting to gain equal rights such as the right to vote in political elections. Moreover, Man is a powerful symbol of nationhood and authority, which usually shows images of figures who are respected in a particular society. In this case, the head of King George V was on the coins, and the slogan was stamped over his ear, as if being shouted into it. This was a direct act of defiance and an attack on male authority. Now, it's a crime to intentionally damage money, but the advantage for protesters is that it's hard to trace who did it. In this case, no one was ever arrested. In fact, the coins even achieved a certain popularity. Some were pierced and turned into accessories, making their message even more prominent. Although, of course, we can't be sure about the impact of the message on the coins, in 1918, all British women over the age of 30 were granted the right to vote. And finally, in 1928, the right to vote was extended to all women over 21. Now, let's move on to the second object. If you've visited the British Museum, you'll know that many exhibits are reminders of Britain's colonial past, and some of them are critical of that past. However, one particularly creative example of anti-authoritarianism is aimed not at Britain as a former colonial power, but at a former British colony's current government. A yellow umbrella is exhibited at the British Museum to record the umbrella movement of 2014. Some of you may have heard about this in the news. At that time, students in Hong Kong were fighting against the perceived interference of the Chinese government in local elections. The transformation of the umbrella from everyday object to tool of protest happened when students put up their umbrellas to shield themselves from the tear gas the police were using to break up demonstrations. After that, the umbrella became a symbol of resistance, and the umbrella movement was created. The cleverness of this idea lies in its simplicity. Umbrellas are designed to protect, not protest. But the very notion of protection, both literal and symbolic, was at the heart of the demonstrations. And while one umbrella is just protection from the weather, hundreds of similarly coloured umbrellas become an immediate and strong visual image of protest, far more powerful than words. Moreover, umbrellas are commonplace objects that are integral to everyday life. Like coins, we can't be arrested for carrying them. As we've seen with these two exhibits, through creativity and invention, critical voices have long tried to influence societies around the world. Nevertheless, and for obvious reasons, rebellious people often need to remain anonymous. So it's ever more important that the views of those who've dared to question authority be given space in our national museums and, more significantly, our attention.
では、16番から20番までの問いに答えてください。回答時間は90秒です。 では、8ページに進んで2つ目の講義を聞いてください。
Questions 21 to 25. Listen to the lecture.
Have you ever caught yourself talking to yourself? We all do it. In fact, the importance of self-talk in human cognition has been much explored. Psychologists have found that talking to oneself can improve cognitive processes. However, until recently, there'd been little application of self-talk technology in the field of artificial intelligence, or AI. Today, I'd like to talk about a unique study that took place in 2019. Researchers found that equipping robots with a self-talk, think-aloud capability resulted in positive outcomes in terms of successful task fulfillment and in our understanding of robots' decision-making processes. Researchers measured the impact of self-talk on a robot's performance in terms of three criteria: robustness, transparency, and time. The first, robustness, refers to the number of times a task is completed successfully within the trial period. The second, transparency, describes the possibility of observing and reproducing the robot's thought processes. The third, time, means the completion of a task within the time limit. In the experiment, a robot and a human worked together to prepare a table for lunch. The robot followed the instructions given by its partner while considering rules of etiquette about where to place things on a table. Two kinds of conflictual situations were presented to test the robot. First, some of the partner's instructions broke an established rule of etiquette, such as asking for the knife to be placed on the napkin. Second, some instructions were impossible to carry out, such as asking for a glass to be placed on the table when it was already there. The results of the research showed the rate of successful task completion increased when the robot talked to itself. The success rate was closely related to the robot's capacity to evaluate the outcomes of actions in conflictual situations. For instance, when asked to put the knife on the napkin, the robot first confirmed the partner's request. After that, it used its inner speech to decide that breaking social rules was preferable to displeasing its partner. In another example, when the robot was instructed to place on the table an object that was already there, it again asked for the request to be confirmed. When the partner insisted, the robot's inner speech showed that it was confused. It decided the best action was to express its perplexity. The robot then asked the human, "What do you really want?" This led to the resolution of the conflict with a different instruction from the partner. Contrastingly, when the robot was not equipped to use inner speech in this situation, it simply abandoned the task. Thus, the findings indicated the effectiveness of the technology in terms of the first dimension, robustness. In addition to robustness, a further positive result appeared regarding transparency. Because thinking out loud meant that the human partner could witness the decision-making process, it was easy to understand the robot's motivations, including any refusal to carry out a request. This in turn helped communication so that a satisfactory outcome was achieved. Additionally, transparency may improve human-robot collaboration by increasing our trust in the use of AI. The robot prioritized the human satisfaction whenever possible. This reaction could remove some of our fears about being dominated by robots. Now, let's look at the outcome for the third criterion, time. Here, the results were less satisfactory. The robot with think-aloud technology took longer to complete tasks. Nevertheless, this drawback must be balanced against the increased rate of satisfactory task completion. Therefore, one factor that should be considered when planning how to use this technology is tasks to be performed. While self-talk is useful for conflictual situations, it would unnecessarily slow down simple AI operations, such as turning on the television. To conclude today's talk, we should remember that our ever-increasing dependence on technology means the need for effective human-robot cooperation is urgent. For example, countries with large aging populations are starting to explore potential roles for AI in caregiving. Overall, this research has shown that having robots engage in self-talk enhances their performance. In the future, giving self-talk technology to our AI partners may facilitate our coexistence by leading to more open and reliable relationships.
では、21番から25番までの問いに答えてください。回答時間は90秒です。では、10ページに進んで、3つ目の講義を聞いてください。
Questions 26 to 30. Listen to the lecture. Today we're going to look at the gluten-free diet. Recently this diet has grown in popularity, due in part to its endorsement by various celebrities, such as actor Gwyneth Paltrow and tennis star Novak Djokovic. However, even before this recent trend, the gluten-free diet was used as a medical treatment. So today, let's explore some medical uses of this diet, concerns about its widespread adoption, and finally, its financial impact on the food industry. First of all, what is gluten? Gluten is a group of proteins found in wheat, barley, and rye. So those who follow a gluten-free diet must be careful to avoid these particular grains. Foods such as meat and fish, vegetables and fruit, beans and legumes, or alternative grains like rice and quinoa are all naturally gluten-free. But gluten can unexpectedly be found in many other foods. For example, it can be hidden in foods as preservatives or additives. Everyday items such as soy sauce, salad dressing, or ice cream often contain gluten. It may be surprising to learn that sweets can be made with gluten-containing sugars, and certain alcoholic beverages like beer are usually produced with gluten-containing grains. So, what are the benefits of following a gluten-free diet? The most important use is as a medical treatment for specific conditions such as celiac disease. Celiac disease is a genetic autoimmune disease triggered by the consumption of gluten. In other words, eating gluten causes the body to attack itself, damaging the body's ability to absorb nutrients in the small intestine. Symptoms may include digestive issues like diarrhea, weight loss, nausea, vomiting, and constipation, or seemingly unrelated symptoms, such as headaches, iron deficiency anemia, loss of bone density, skin rashes, joint pain, and injury to the nervous system. In short, this is a very serious disease. Currently, the only major treatment option for celiac disease is to stop eating gluten. Now, let's move on to concerns about the gluten-free diet as a popular trend. Some celebrities do actually suffer from celiac disease or have trouble digesting gluten. However, other famous people have promoted the gluten-free diet as a way to stay healthy, lose weight, or have more energy. But medical researchers remain skeptical about the health advantages of this diet for the general population. Scientists have expressed concern about the lack of fiber, iron, zinc, and potassium in gluten-free packaged foods. Regarding weight loss, gluten-free alternatives can have just as many calories as their regular gluten-containing counterparts, sometimes even more. Those claiming to lose weight on this diet may have actually made other dietary or lifestyle changes, unrelated to gluten intake. Nevertheless, many companies have seen the money-making potential of the gluten-free market. A 2015 survey calculated that a packaged product labeled gluten-free costs on average over 200% more than the same type of product containing gluten. Furthermore, in 2019, a market analysis report estimated the global gluten-free market at $21.61 billion U.S. dollars and predicted that the market will continue to grow. While high prices have been beneficial for companies, they also mean that some people with medical conditions may have trouble affording gluten-free products. In conclusion, the gluten-free diet is an essential medical treatment for specific diseases, but research has not established a clear link between the diet and general health, weight loss, or energy gain. Doctors are concerned that many people might follow the diet as a fad without fully considering dietary balance. And while the gluten-free market is quite profitable, not everyone benefits from this. All in all, the gluten-free diet should teach us to make informed health choices rather than to simply follow advice from celebrities and popular culture.
では、26番から30番までの問いに答えてください。回答時間は90秒です。鉛筆を置いてください。これでリスニングは終わりです。引き続きリーディングに進みます。